All right. Morning. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 15. Ephesians 6, 15. Ephesians 6, 15. So we're going through the armor of God here. And we're to the shoes, the good news shoes. Ephesians 6:15. So the Bible says this, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Remember, he said in verse 11, put on the whole armor of God, and then he goes through some of these pieces of armor. The shoes is where we're at. So let's pray. We'll talk about these good news shoes this morning. Father, I thank you for, first of all, Lord, for your words, for salvation in Jesus Christ. I thank you for everybody that's here this morning. I pray you'd bless each soul for being here. For those that are sick, I pray that you'd heal up their bodies. Those that are traveling, you get them back home safe. And Lord, for the teachers in the back, that you'd fill them with your Holy Spirit to minister your words to the kids. And Lord, that we would get what we need from you this morning. And you'd be able to feed your flock today. And I pray you'd bless each soul for being here. I pray if there's anybody here that's not saved, that today would be the day of their salvation and they'd understand their need for Jesus Christ. This life, this way is temporary, and eventually this body will go in a grave and they'll go somewhere forever. And Lord, I pray they understand that, understand their sin before a holy God, and understand their need for Jesus Christ. And Lord, I thank you for those that are saved here, and pray you'd feed your flock, take care of us the way you want to take care of us this morning. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. The feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. So, the way the Holy Spirit describes this armor is all very, very practical. Your feet, the illustration of shoes the Holy Spirit uses is a very practical way of explaining your preparation, my preparation with the gospel. Your feet, if you think about it, your feet are where you come in contact with the world every day. And you step out of bed, if you don't do anything else, your feet come in contact with the world, and that's kind of the idea. Everywhere a Christian comes in contact with the world, the idea is to have the preparation of the gospel of peace ready. And that doesn't mean you're going to always have opportunities. Doesn't mean the door's always going to be open. We'll see some of those. But the idea to be prepared with the gospel of peace is that's the point. So, that being said, what is the gospel of peace? Because I imagine some folks have a fear. I mean, we all have some kind of fear of opening our mouth for Jesus Christ. And that's the flesh talking. And if you don't know what you're supposed to be prepared with, then, I mean, I guess you won't be prepared with it. So, let's figure out, first of all, what is the gospel of peace? Because he said you got to be prepared with that. That's what you got to be prepared with. All right, so here's a few verses, and we'll define the gospel of peace. You're in Ephesians, go back to Ephesians chapter 2. Peace has to do with peace between God and man. Has to do with the reconciliation of a sinner to a holy God, mankind to God Almighty. And the way that's done is in Jesus Christ. All right, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13. It says, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off, are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our what? Peace. He is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. So that's peace. That's what he's describing. Having abolished, this is how he did it. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. And that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached, what? Peace to you which were far off, and to them which that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. All right, so I don't think it's necessarily anything new to you, but that says Jesus Christ did as a man what none of us could ever do. We're beyond that. So he lived a holy life in the flesh, in blood. He lived a holy life, suffered temptation, never yielded to temptation, and produced a life that was acceptable to God now. With that life that he produced in the flesh as a man, offered that life to God, God accepts that life by Jesus living according to the law, by Jesus Christ never yielding to temptation. He produced a life that's acceptable to God. God accepted that life. And then God said, all right, on the basis of that man, I will accept whoever will accept that man. So if you'll accept that man, I will accept you in him, in Jesus Christ. And so that was how Jesus Christ makes peace between God and men. The problems you and I, the thing that separated between you and God and me and God was the flesh and the sins of the flesh and the yielding to temptation in the flesh and all of that stuff. That was the thing that's contrary to God. Jesus Christ bridged the gap. He made his flesh yield to God his whole life instead of yielding to the flesh his life. All right. So that's the gospel of peace. He brought men and God together in his body. His flesh and blood body, he brought man and God together because he made a life and a body that was acceptable to God, all right? So, that means Jesus Christ's blood replaces your blood. Jesus Christ's body replaces your body. If you trust him, that's the body that God accepts. And his body replaces your body. His blood replaces your blood. So when you stand before God, it's not based on who you are. He sees Jesus Christ and he accepts Jesus Christ. All right. That being said, I always say that, don't I? That being said, Mary Beth said, "You always say that." So anyway, that being said. Look in Luke chapter 2 to see how this starts. All right, Luke chapter 2, verse 14. So Jesus Christ's blood replaces your blood if you trust him. Jesus Christ's body replaces your body if you trust him. And those are the things that are acceptable to God. All right, this is what was announced from heaven when Jesus Christ took on a body. This was the announcement made from heaven. All right, Luke chapter 2 and verse 12. This shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. All right, you know who that is. That's Jesus Christ. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, what? Peace. Goodwill toward men. So God is saying, I'm about to make reconciliation between God and man with the man that was born here now. We're going to make reconciliation between God and men. So he says the announcement from heaven is, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. That was God's desire was to reconcile man back to himself, and he's going to do it through Jesus Christ. All right, so Jesus Christ lives his life. It's a lawful, holy, sinless life, yielded to God, acceptable to God. He dies on the cross, resurrects from the dead, and then I want to show you what he says to the disciples after that. Look in John chapter 20. Following along the gospel of peace. All right, I hope you're understanding. I'm trying to make the give you the definition for the gospel of peace. So you understand the gospel of peace is reconciliation in Jesus Christ between God and man. All right, John chapter 20, verse 19. This is after the resurrection. Jesus Christ appears to the disciples and he says this. John 20:19. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, what? Peace be unto you. Meaning it's not just a greeting, it's more than a greeting, it's a statement of what the reality is now. Now there's peace. I've made peace in my body. God's accepted it. I mean, it's acceptable to God. All right, so he says this, peace be unto you. All right, so Jesus Christ made peace with God possible. Then he says, verse 20, and when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. All right, so he says peace, and then he shows them the evidence of the peace. I've given this body in exchange for your body, this blood in exchange for your blood. Here's the evidence. God accepted it, and that's why I'm now standing before you, because he rose me from the earth. I rose from the dead to show this is acceptable. This was the accepted body now. This was the acceptable thing before God. So it says, and when he had so said, verse 20, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. All right, so peace with God resulted from a man living out holiness without a single sin in flesh and blood. All right, and thus really representing all of mankind. Look in verse 21 now. Verse 21. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. All right? Peace be unto you. As I've been sent, now I'm going to send you. All right? Now this is why Paul will say in Ephesians, you and I prepared with the gospel of peace. Now that reality, that truth has been established. There's peace between God and man in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ fulfilled that, did that, and then he goes in there and he sends the disciples out and he says, now I'm going to send you out the way I was sent. Now you're taking the gospel of peace with you now. All right, verse 22, and when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. That's an interesting thing. But the commission of the gospel of peace comes with the power of the Holy Ghost. I'll show you this, how it plays out in the future here. But he equips them with the Holy Ghost. So here's the idea. What they're going to be doing is going to be a spiritual work. It's not a work of, it's not a work of personality, okay? It's not a work of, I'm not equipped. Some people do it better, or it's a spiritual work. Every man he's talking to has a different personality. But what he's saying is, all of you are going to be
equipped with the preparation of the gospel, because I'm equipping you because it's a spiritual work. You will all be, you may not do it the same way, you may not, some may have better results than others. The point is, you'll all be prepared. It's not a work of you, it's a work of the Holy Spirit working through you. All right, so he says, he breathed on him, received the Holy Ghost. That's, I think, a little picture of what's about to happen in the future here. And then this. here's the message of the gospel of peace. Verse 23. Whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. So the message is, sinners have an opportunity to have their sins go into remission in Jesus Christ, but if they're not willing to trust in Jesus Christ, then the sin is still with them. So he sends them out. He says, whosoever sins you remit, they're remitted unto him. Whosoever sins you retain, they're retained unto him. That is a good description of being a testimony, being an ambassador. You go out with the message that God sent. Some people accept it, some people reject it. So based on what they do with the message, it's either they're in their sins or they get their sins paid for. All right? So the message is clear, and the point of that is the gospel of peace has to do with the remission of sins in Jesus Christ. That the sins would go into remission. It's like cancer going into remission. It would go into remission in Jesus Christ, be taken away. All right, let me show you. Oh, let's see. Look in Acts chapter 10. I know I'm spending a lot of time with the definition here, but I want you to understand this thing as much as we can this morning. All right, Acts chapter 10, verse 34. Says this is Peter. He's dealing with Cornelius, and then he comes to this realization. Verse 34. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, "Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons." That was a big deal with Peter, and that's a big deal with us. But God is no respecter of persons. Verse 35. But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word, I say ye know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God. All right, that's interesting. He says, not to all the people, but to witnesses. I'll make a comment on that in a minute here. I'll keep reading. Chosen before God, even to us who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead, and he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that he is he which was ordained of God to be judge of the quick and the dead. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. That's the gospel of peace. Peter understood now that that gospel, that peace between God and man wasn't limited to the Jews. It was actually available everywhere. And he was learning that as he's going on here. And the Lord brings him out to an Italian man, Cornelius. And he preaches, and Cornelius and his whole house, they get saved. And Peter understands, wow, this is bigger than just us. There's more to this. So the gospel of peace goes out to the whole world. Peter understands that. And it has to do, again, in verse 43, with the remission of sins. God taking away the sins of the people in Jesus Christ. That's the gospel of peace. All right, one more time here. Well, not as many verses, just one verse. Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. Romans 5:1. All right, Romans 5:1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. All right, so that's how easy peace with God is. Jesus Christ did the work. You can either trust Him or not trust Him. If you trust Him, God justifies you or counts His work as your work, and therefore you are justified before God. Because Jesus Christ's work becomes your work. He sees it the same if you'll trust Him. That doesn't mean, I'll say this, peace with God is not necessarily peace with your family. It's not necessarily peace with your husband or wife. It's not necessarily peace with your friends. And some people come to Jesus Christ, I understand, in trouble, and you know they want God to get in the middle of something. And that's good, I suppose. But being saved, you don't get saved. Put it this way: when you get saved, the gospel of peace has to do with your sins being remitted before God. If people come to the Lord to have their family fixed, okay, and they pray a prayer so that they can start getting along with husband and wife or friends or whatever, that's not the gospel of peace. The gospel of peace is you trust Jesus Christ to have your sins taken away before God. Now, all these other, I'm not saying all these other things are having God get in the middle of a marriage and take two people and work the thing out, or a family and work the thing out. That's good, but just understand, peace with God does not mean peace with everybody else. It doesn't mean automatically that everything else starts working properly, obviously. I mean, it doesn't mean that. And so people come to God, start coming to church for all different reasons, and that's fine, that's good, but you need to understand that peace with God is individual, and it's in Jesus Christ, and it may not fix everything in your life, but it will fix your standing with God. That's what it will fix, okay? So the gospel, I think you understand, that's the definition of it, all right? Paul said, put on the whole armor. So the shoes that he's talking about, I mean, an illustration, the shoes, the preparation of the gospel of peace is a part of your armor. So it's a part of your defense. Now, you may not think of it that way. We may not think of it that way. But the preparation of the gospel in public, in where you meet the world, is part of your defense. It's part of your spiritual... I've got some books up there that talk about spiritual warfare. You know, most of those books, not one of them talks about spiritual warfare in the context of being prepared with the gospel of peace when you're out and about in public, when you're working. But Paul in Ephesians 6 says that's part of your spiritual warfare. That's part of your defense. That's part of what's going to keep you, I don't say out of trouble, but it's part of your defense against the devil and you know, the flesh going, what is this going to do? Anyway, all right, so second thing is this. What's your responsibility? He says, put on the whole armor, so it's our responsibility to put these shoes on. This isn't something that God puts on when you get saved. It's something you do. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. See the other side of this thing here. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 34. Our responsibility is to be prepared with the gospel of peace. Be prepared with the gospel of peace. All right, let me show you what Paul said to the Corinthians here, just to show the responsibility that every Christian has. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 34. He says, "Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God, and I speak this to your shame." The idea being, some people who should have known about God didn't know about God because the people of God weren't telling them anything about God. And so he says, there are some people in your area that don't know what they should know because you haven't been telling them what they should know. All right, so he says, I speak this to your shame. So I show you that verse to understand there's the responsibility. That's the responsibility, okay? All right, our responsibility isn't to be accepted by everybody. All right. In Romans, I tell you what, just go back there, just Romans chapter 10. And that's probably the fear, that if I say something, I won't be accepted. There is obviously a social stigma with the Bible, with the gospel, with Jesus Christ, really with Jesus Christ. I mean, people don't have trouble saying God. I mean, they're having more and more trouble these days, but God's okay. Yeah, God blesses me and all that stuff, but it's different to say the Lord Jesus Christ blesses my family. That's a different statement than, yeah, God blesses us, and you understand the name carries weight with it. And that's the problem. That's the social stigma of it. All right, but our responsibility isn't to be accepted. In fact, this is what Paul cited Isaiah. Look in Romans chapter 10 and verse 15. It says, "And how shall they preach except they be sent?" All right, that was Jesus Christ. You just read that in John chapter 21 or 20, where Jesus Christ sends out the disciples. He sends out us. We're all commissioned here. All right. "How shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet." There you go. The feet. Feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. "How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace." There you go. "And bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report?" All right, I won't take you to the verse in Isaiah, but Paul quotes Isaiah here. And Isaiah's concern was he brought a report from God and the people didn't care. And so that was what Paul's quoting. He says, yeah, they probably, some of them won't care. And so he says, like Isaiah said, who hath believed our report? And that's what, if you pass out tracts or try to witness to folks or try to be a testimony, try to minister, knock on doors, whatever the case is, you'll find that the question is, who hath believed our report? Who even cares what we're saying? We're trying to get a message to people who are muddling through this life, getting ready to die, and nobody really cares. And so the question is, who hath believed? Who's believing this? Then that to us it's frustration. It's like Paul said. He said, yeah, Isaiah said the same thing. Who hath believed our report? We brought a message from God. He commissioned us. He sent us out. Brought a message from the Lord. And here's the message. And everyone just kept doing what they were doing. Who hath believed it? I mean, who did it? That's the frustration. But our responsibility isn't to be accepted. It's to be prepared with the gospel of peace. That's the responsibility. Be prepared with the gospel of peace. Here's a thought here. So Jesus Christ was willing to be rejected for people who would never love him. Jesus Christ was willing to be rejected for people who would never accept him. Jesus Christ was willing to be rejected for people who are going to die and go to hell. Jesus Christ also died for people who would accept him, obviously, and who would trust in him and who would get saved. And that says, put it this way, Jesus Christ dies for sinners. He's rejected for sinners. If you and I can't be rejected for a holy God, that says something about you and me. If God Almighty was willing to be rejected for sinners, and then sinners aren't willing to be rejected for a holy God, that says something about us. Now, and I know that's it's obvious, and there's, you know, we're sinners, we understand we're in that position, but if we won't put our own pride on the line for someone who is holy, we won't put our pride on the line for someone who is holy. Remember, God Almighty put himself on the line for people who weren't holy, for people who hated him. Okay? So all that said, I'm trying to help us get to, you know, the responsibility. Let's just focus on the responsibility part of this. Our responsibility isn't to be accepted. Our responsibility isn't to have all the arguments. I know sometimes you don't open your mouth because you're afraid they're going to come back with something, or somebody's going to say something that you don't have the answer to. I don't know what the solution is. You brought up something and now I can't defend God here, and that's the thought. Well, it isn't our responsibility to even have all the arguments. In fact, look over in Titus chapter 3. It's your responsibility to avoid arguments. Titus chapter 3 and verse 9. Titus 3:9. All right, it says, watch this. 3:9. But jump into the middle of foolish questions. No. What did it say? Avoid foolish questions. Okay? But avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain. A man that is a heretic after the first and second admonition, reject. how is that loving? I mean, you know, after the first and second admonition, reject. The point is, don't get into the middle of stuff. If y'all probably know some folks, there's probably one or two in your mind that love to argue. I got a couple in my mind right now. Not in this room. People start pointing and it's like, yeah, right. those wow. There you go. Right. So our job is not to win an argument. Paul reasoned with people. You can reason with people as far as you can reason. And if you can't reason anymore, and you can't reason anymore. The gospel is a reasonable thing. It isn't a magic show or a fairy tale, or it's a reasonable thing. And if people don't want to reason about it, if they want to argue about it, God said, just stay out of that stuff. Your job isn't to win the argument. Your job is to be prepared with the gospel of peace. And if they can't reason out the gospel of peace, hey, you're a sinner, you're going to die one day, and all those things that you did in rejection and in neglecting God, all that stuff will come back up and you'll pay for all that stuff. Now, if you don't want to accept that, if you don't want to think about that, if you don't recognize one day you'll be in a grave, if you don't recognize there's more stuff going on in your body than just your body, you know, I've used the illustration multiple times. I mean, you think about some things while you do other things. You smile sometimes when inside you're sad. I mean, you're at least two people. You got stuff going on the outside, it's not going on the inside. And so you don't recognize you got a body, a soul, and a spirit. You don't recognize that judgment is a real thing. I mean, even in your own life, if you reject God, you understand it and you participate in some sort of judgment. You got stuff you don't like that your family does. You got stuff that you don't like that other people do. What is that? That's judgment based on something. So the point is, our job is to be prepared with the gospel of peace, not to argue, not to win an argument, not to debate. It's just, he says, all this stuff is unprofitable. If someone wants to reason about this, if someone wants to listen, if someone wants to hear how their sins have been paid for, that's good. Then tell them. And if they shut it down a couple times, he said, after first and second admonition, just, you got to let it go. Yeah, that's what he told them. Knock the dust off your feet. You move on. That doesn't mean they're gone forever. I mean, maybe their life will change in some way. And I'm sure many of you could say, yeah, I got witnessed to a long time ago and I rejected and then finally I got saved. Well, that's your life changing. That's the Holy Spirit being able to give you information and bits and pieces in your life so that things start coming together the way they need to come together. But your responsibility isn't to drive people to pray a prayer or any of that stuff. It's not even to argue with people. If you want to reason. But he said, avoid this. Be prepared with the gospel of peace. Avoid all of these other things. Because they're unprofitable. Even if you win the debate or win the argument, you haven't. Nobody's come out the better. All right, and then this thing. You and I are ambassadors, and being an ambassador is not a personality issue. It's not a. That's the biggest one. That's the thing. Sometimes we think about. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I use a word. I realize I've used this word wrong for years now. I would say it's our job to be witnesses. It isn't our job to be witnesses. A witness in the Bible. Remember when Peter's dealing with Cornelius, he said, there are some people that were witnesses to these events. And God sent out those some people who were witnesses to these events. Everyone in this room, or no one in this room, has ever seen Jesus Christ. No one in this room has ever seen Jesus Christ risen from the dead. So, biblically speaking, we're not witnesses, we are ambassadors. We have a message we've never seen who we're talking about. All right, so I thought about, you know, I guess I might stop using that word. It's be a witness. We're not a witness. We're an ambassador. This church here in Beeville, Texas, is more like an embassy than from heaven than anything else. We're not witnesses saying this is what I saw because I haven't seen anything yet. All right, that being said, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Biblically speaking, God never called Gentiles, us, witnesses, but he did call us ambassadors. All right, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. All right, there's the remission of sins again. Sins being taken away. Justification. And hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. That's what's been committed. The word of reconciliation. Verse 19 or 20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. So God used some people to ask, to beg, to plead with other people to have their sins forgiven in Jesus Christ. And he used one group of people to talk to another group of people. And the group of people he uses, he calls ambassadors, because you and I have the message, the word of reconciliation. Don't have the eyewitness testimony of the cross. We don't have the eyewitness testimony of the resurrection. But we have the word of reconciliation. That's what we have. All right. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. All right, again, all going back to Jesus Christ and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ and justifying and making peace between God and man and reconciling God and man together in one body in his flesh and blood. All right, last thing here. So he says, be prepared with the gospel of peace. So you and I, our responsibility is to be prepared with the gospel of peace, just like we put on our shoes. I mean, I imagine every day, unless you're really hillbilly, you put on your shoes every day and you go out and do whatever you're going to do. So he says, be prepared with the gospel of peace, just like you put on your shoes. I say hillbilly because I used to walk around with no shoes up in Colorado, and I don't know, and all the guys say, hey, you're such a hillbilly. So anyway, our responsibility is to put on the gospel of peace just like you put on your shoes. And you meet the world every day with your feet, and every day you put on your shoes, and every day you're an ambassador. And he said, be prepared with the gospel of peace. Because you're going to run into people, maybe not often, but you're going to run into people who need to hear it and who want to hear it. And you're going to run into people who don't want to hear it, but they need to hear it. And you're going to run into all sorts. So what's the interesting part of this is, this is part of your armor of God. This is part of spiritual warfare. I mean, if you want to put it in that term in Ephesians 6. So being prepared with the gospel of peace is part of your spiritual warfare. You know who gives out the gospel of peace? People who are prepared with the gospel of peace. You know who preaches the gospel of peace to their friends and to their relatives and to people they meet? It's people who are prepared with the gospel of peace. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I've maybe gone into HEB, got gas, gone to Walmart, whatever, run inside, run out, or run inside, and don't have a track on me or whatever. But on the other side of that, you don't have to have a track. If you can speak, you got the word of reconciliation. I mean, tracks help because you're not going to be around forever, and they can get read any time. That's helpful. It's good to get them out. Folk can read them whenever they want, and sometimes they feel more comfortable just reading them by themselves, and that's fine.
But you and I are the ambassadors. We have the Word. Yeah, it helps to have a Bible and be able to open a Bible and all that. But just be prepared with the gospel of peace as an ambassador. So that those shoes are part of our defense. You think about this. I'll end it with this. When David... I say the same things, don't I? Oh, man. All right, I'm going to say this one last thing, but first I'm going to get a drink of coffee. All right. That's the last thing, yeah. Now I forgot what I was going to say. The shoes. Put on the shoes. It's part of your defense. It's part of our armor. Here's what I was going to say. When David failed to go to war, you guys remember what happened when David failed to go to war? He got in trouble. This is part of your defense. And when you fail to go to war, you don't want to think about administering the gospel of peace as warfare, but it part of your defense. You get into trouble, and it may not be real visible trouble necessarily. It may just be a distraction. But I think when it's all said and done, and you know you. I don't know that necessarily we have to wait till the judgment seat of Christ to get everything sorted out. I think there are some things you know in your own life that aren't productive. And you don't have to wait till the judgment seat of Christ to figure that out, to sort it all out. You know, well, I'll just get to the judgment and we'll sort out what was good and what was bad. I think you can know a lot of things that were productive and weren't productive as far as God's concerned. Because he gives you so much information about the productive things in your life. And I'm trying to get back around to this. David didn't fight. He got in trouble. When we don't participate in the things that God said, put this on like shoes. You wear this like you wear shoes every day. And if you don't, what will happen is you'll get into trouble that you may not even... It may not even seem like trouble. It may not even seem... But what you'll find out in your life is your life becomes unproductive for God. Because you've given so much... you've lost so many opportunities, so many battles. Now the life has become non-productive. There's no fruit there. And I don't... Like I said, I don't think we've got to wait till the judgment seat of Christ to figure all that out. I think you can figure a lot of that out right now. So be prepared. The point is, be prepared with the gospel of peace. The people that are going to bring the gospel of peace to other people are the people that have the gospel of peace. People aren't going to go to Walmart and get the gospel. Walmart doesn't sell that. HEB doesn't have that on the shelf. That's something that ambassadors for Jesus Christ have. All right, so that's an overview of, I guess, what you could call the good news shoes there, the good news shoes. So let's pray and we'll get out of here. Father, thank you so much for your words, Lord. I pray that you would help us all be good ambassadors for you. Lord, help me. Father, I pray that you'd really make us as a church a good testimony and a good ministers of reconciliation here. And as we go out in our daily lives and encounter the world and everywhere we encounter the world, Lord, that we'd be prepared with the gospel of peace. And I pray you'd make that, just imprint that on our hearts and on our minds. And we think about that. Thank you for everybody that's here. Pray you bless each soul for being here. And Lord, thank you for salvation in Jesus Christ. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.